ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Gopremanande Haribo. Now let's look at the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 41, please. This chanting or reciting the Bhagavad Gita every day is a practice that many devotees do around the world. You'll find not just in our line, but anywhere in the world, people who have entered into the Bhagavad Gita feel a direct communion with Krishna through reading every day. And if one stays steady at this practice over time, one begins to imbibe the teachings that Krishna is giving in the Gita. And then when difficulties come in life, and they will, one can consult from one's own intelligence how to deal with them. Because when your intelligence is fortified by Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, then we have a clear idea of what to do and what not to do. So let's chant the Sanskrit, and then is it available Sanskrit, English, Sanskrit, English? Apparently, yes. You all ready? But we were. You should have that sign from Navadvip that says nothing to visit here. Seemed we were doing quite well for a while. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, I think we were doing fine to start with. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Shudranam Chaparantapa Karmani Prabhibhaktani Subhava Prabhaver Gunai. Keep going. Stop. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. 42.
Shambhavi, do you know what's going on?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Shamodamastapashaucham Shantirarjavamevacha Gyanam Vigyanam Astikyam Ramakarma Subhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Shauryam Tejo Dhritir Dakshyam Yudhe Chapya Palayanam Danam Ishvara Bhavascha Shatram Karma Subhavajam. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaishya Karma Subhavajam Paricharyatmakam Karma Shudrasyapi Subhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. And for the Shudras, there are labor and service to others. Sve Sve Karmanya Birata Samsidhim Labate Nara Sakarma Nirata Siddhim Yata Vindati Tatshrinu. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. Yata pravritir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam sakarmana tamabhyarcha Siddhim Vindati Manava. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. Shreyan Sadharmo Vigunaha Paradharmat Swanushtitat Sabhavan Yatam Karma Kuravan Napnoti Kilbusham. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham apina tyajet sarvarambha hidoshena dumanagnir ivavrata. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jitahatma vigata spriha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyas anirighachati. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Siddhim prapto yata brahma tatapnoti nibhotame samasenaiva kaunteya nishta gyanasya para. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto drityatmanam niyamyacha shabdadim vishayam styaktva ragadveshau vyudasyacha vivikta vilagvashi yatavakaya manasaha jnana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashrita ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimucha nirmamashanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship, and peaceful, such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. Brahmaputa prasannatma nashochati nakankshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatumam tatvato gyatva vishate taranantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvano madhyapashaya mat prasada davatnoti shashvatam paramavyayam. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Chitasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matpadaha puriyoga mupashritya machita satatam pava. In all activities, just depend upon me and always work under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Machita sarvadurgani matprasada tarishyasi atachetvam ahankaran nashoshyasi vinangshyasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, But act of false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Yadahankar ashritya na yotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Subhava jena kaunteya nibhada svena karmana kartam nichasiyan mohat karishyasya vishopitat. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaye shera arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Tameva sharanam gachcha sarva bhavina bharata taprasadat param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O Sayana of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Iti te jnanam akhyatam kuyad kuyataram maya vimrishaita rasheshena yatechasi tata kuru. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shunume paramam vacha ishto si me dridhamiti tato vakshami tehitam. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Manmana bhavamad bhakto majyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. Sarvadharman prityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Idam te natapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushushave vacham na cha mam yobhyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Ya idam paramam kuhyam mad bhakteshwabhidasiti bhakti mayi param kritva mami vaishyat yasamshayaha. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Nachatasman manusheshu kashin me priyakritamaha pavita na chametasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Adveshyate chaya imam dharmyam samvaram avyayo jnana yagnena tenaham ishtasyam iti me mati. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Shadhava nanashuyascha shunuyadapiyo naraha sopi mukta shubha lokan prapnuyat punya karmanam. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. Kachiri tachrutam parta twayai kagrina chetasa kachira jnana samoha prashnashtaste dananjaya. O Sanaprita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? Are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Arjuna Vacha Nashto Pratvasada Mayachita Stitosmi Gatasandeha Karishe Vachanam Tava. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. Sanjayu Vacha Ityaham Vasudevasya Partasya Cha Mahatmanaha Samvadam Idam Shosham Adbhutam Ramaharshanam Imam Avshar. Sanjaya said, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna, and so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. Vyasa prasadach chutravan etad kuhyam aham param yogam yogeshvarat krishnat sakshat katayatasvayam. By the mercy of Vyasa, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. Rajan samsmita samsmritya sambadam idam adbhutam keshavarjuna yo punyam hrishyami cha muhur muhu. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Tachcha samsmita samsmritya rupam atyadbhutam hare vismayo me mahan rajan hrishyami cha puna puna. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Yatra yogeshvara krishna yatra parto dhanurdara tatra shir vijayo bhutir dhruvanitir matir mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishadsu Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastri Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Karma Sanyas Yoga Nama Ash. What is it? Okay, so please go back to text number 60. Vrindavan's here. Is this your first time back to the temple?
Yeah.
Okay, well, welcome back, Vrindavan. You kept us waiting long enough. We're so happy to see you. We've been counting the days till we'd see you again. Hare Krishna. Your sister's here? She's coming? Okay, good. I hope that she recognizes us. When did you come? Sunday. But you look fresh as a daisy, no problem. You did? Okay. Just in time. So please look up the word dedication. There are three, Hare Krishna, three paths that are mentioned generally that one can follow. We have the impetus to move. We think. We have desires. And how we express those will determine what kind of environment we end up in. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. That's in the 13th chapter, 22nd verse. And Krishna says that according to our sangha, we'll develop modes of nature and thus will be accommodated by the material nature in various bodies and environments. And Of course, everyone acts in what they believe to be their own self-interest, because we are atmas, or we have a self, we are a self. And according to the intelligence we've developed, we work in certain ways in order to try to find the best situation possible. However, left to one's own devices, finding such a correct path is not so easy, because starting from being misguided, one has to have some intervention. That's something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about in his teaching to Sanatana Goswami, when he says that the living entity doesn't automatically come out of ignorance. It's not swata. But he needs some kind of help from a higher source, from knowledge outside the closed system of the material world and of the mind. And that comes from the teachings, of course, of Bhagavad Gita, which we just read, and other shastras, and through those who represent the Bhagavad Gita and the other shastras, who have controlled their senses, practiced the process of bhakti yoga, and so forth. And they become living examples of the shastra and how to live in the world without becoming affected by it. So the three paths of action are the path of enjoyment. And this is natural because our nature is to enjoy. Ananda mayo bhyasat. The Vedas say that the living entity is forever seeking enjoyment, because we're part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's Satchitananda Vigraha. And we are looking for the same kind of happiness that we think we'll find eternal happiness in the material world. But when we search for enjoyment here, this environment doesn't provide actual enjoyment, but it gives us the opposite. There's a reversal, because we're in a material energy, and the same shakti, the Haladini shakti that gives pleasure in the spiritual world through service to Krishna, is called Hlada Tapatraya. It becomes reversed in the material world, and as I endeavor for the same kind of happiness or looking for enjoyment in the material world, I get the opposite, I get distressed. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Okay, good. You're all good sports. So the path of enjoyment then is normally followed by the path of renunciation. There's a pendulum swing called Bhoga Tyaga. So Bhoga means I try to enjoy. And after I try to enjoy for some time, then I get tired of whatever sense object I've been entertaining. And then I make up my mind that the way to happiness is to renounce it. Not just it, but all other kinds of sense gratification. And this kind of giving up of material enjoyment to lead to happiness, perhaps through becoming one with the Supreme, or giving up one's identity altogether, not engaging in the variety of the material world, is also impermanent, because we actually have volition and we have desires that have to be engaged eventually. And therefore, we can't stay in that state of perpetual renunciation, because it's not our nature. And where do we go then from there? Bhoga, tyaga, then its pendulum goes back. However, there is a point of equilibrium that actually satisfies the self. And that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhoksaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma supersedati. Yayatma supersedati means the atma, the self, becomes happy. With what? Unmotivated, uninterrupted service. So this is also called the path of dedication, or we like to say the middle path, because it's in between bhoga and tyaga. We don't touch bhoga and we don't touch tyaga, because the enjoyment of the material world is sure to disappoint us. Not only that, everything in this material world is controlled and owned by the Lord. Correct? Well, how could you prove that through Shastra? They're looking around for a microphone because they would like to quote a verse from the Vedas. Am I incorrect about that? Or
Isha Vasyamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tenatyaktina Punjita Makrida Kashi Siddhanam.
So could you expound on that a little bit?
Yes.
Just say a few words about what it means.
Okay. So everything animate or inanimate belongs to the universe, and people should only accept what is their quota.
Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is
controlled
and owned by
the Supreme Lord.
Isha. Who's Isha? Supreme Controller. It's not us. It's someone else. It's Krishna. And then?
One should only accept one that the amount that is his quota and
yeah.
not take more.
Which are set aside. So what's that in the Sanskrit?
I don't know.
Tena?
Tyaktena,
yeah. Tena tyaktena, so it means that there's a bunjita, there's a certain quota set aside for us by the Supreme for our maintenance and for healthy enjoyment, balance in the material world. But we're meant naturally to use those facilities in order to serve Isha. And this is the path of dedication. This is satisfying. And when that kind of service mode or dedication to the Lord becomes purified and focused, then one enjoys a life of real nectar. While I'm in the material world, it's natural to be in a state of disarray because I'm constantly battling with the three modes of material nature. And one of the practices that Krishna mentions throughout the Bhagavad Gita is to remain sama, or equipoised, even as I'm embattled by the modes of material nature. He says, Yam hi navyatayante te purusham purusharshabha samadhukha sukham tiram somritat vayakulpate. That is that one should practice being equal in happiness and distress and all the other dualities. And one who is able to do that can actually taste the spiritual nature. Don't go for the extremes, bhoga and tyaga, and the other various vicissitudes that come from the interaction with the material nature. And the way to do that, specifically mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, is to remain dedicated, because we have to hold on somewhere. We have to find some place to give ourselves. It's our nature. We find as human beings, we are always giving ourselves somewhere. We may give ourselves to our family, and we work very hard to think very fondly of everyone in the family, or people that don't have a family who may have a pet. What kind of pet? Here in our neighborhood, I know it's dogs, dog loca. But what? A snake? Yes, some people have a snake they're dedicated to. And also there are many causes that people become dedicated to, ideologies which they'll lay down their lives for. It's natural for us to go as human beings, as souls, in fact, for the path of dedication. And we want to dedicate in a certain place. But then the Bhagavatam says, analyze where you're dedicating your energy. Oh, by the way, what does it mean?
I'll give it for both dedication and dedicate.
Okay.
So a dedication is noun, the quality of being dedicated or committed to a task or purpose. For example, the quality of of being dedicated or committed to a task or purpose.
Does that say committed? Committed to a task?
Yes.
Okay.
Committed to a task. And then, for example, his dedication to his duties. And the second is the action of dedicating a church or other building. like that. And the origin is from Latin, which dedication, the word dedication. And then dedicate is a verb, which means, number one, to devote something to a particular subject or purpose. The second is sight, for example, a book or other artistic work as being issued or performed in someone's honor. And the third is formally open or unveil a building or a memorial. And the third is ceremonially assign for a church or any other building to a deity or a saint. And the origin is late Middle English, in the sense devote to a sacred use by solemn rites. From Latin dedicat, which means devoted or consecrated, from the verb dedicare.
Devoted or consecrated. Okay. This is what brings satisfaction to the self. It's dedication, but where? Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyascha dhyayam pujascha nityada. To God, to Krishna, being more specific, and then there's a process through which one can dedicate oneself. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, tasmad ekena manasa. So this ekena indicates dedication. You're placing your attention in one place. Tasmad, therefore, it says, ekena manasa. The mind should be fixed in one place. Bhagavan sattvatam pati. And where is that? On Bhagavan. There are various features of God which are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Krishna, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, is the source of all the other aspects of God. He's the pinnacle. Everything that you need and want that you'll feel satisfied with is there in Bhagavan. He's very beautiful. He's all-knowing. He is all-loving. He has form, which we crave. If you sit in an airplane long enough and you go after 8 hours, 10 hours, that the only forms really you see after a while is just the little TV sets going everywhere. And the eyes just naturally go because they want to see some form. So the form of Krishna is there, and then he has qualities which are mentioned by Brahma to be unlimited. We like to see these unlimited qualities. So where should one dedicate one's attention? Tasmat ekena manasa. One's mind should go to Bhagavan sattvatam pati. And he's mentioned there as the protector of his devotees. So he has relationships also. That's important for us. And Shrotavya kirtitavyas. Here's a very practical part for dedication. Shrotavya. What are you going to hear? So Prabhupada mentions that people have a taste for hearing different kinds of sound vibration. Very unfortunately for me, my neighbor, who moved in about 2 years ago, I always thought maybe he couldn't last very long, but he seems to be doing okay. likes to listen to the radio outside. And it disturbs the peace. Unfortunately, sound vibration doesn't stop at the fence. It just goes right through it. And I don't have a taste for the sounds that he makes, but he loves it. He's listening all the time and using his drill. Ring, ring. those kinds of sounds that one is attached to is indicative of one's development of consciousness. And so especially the dedication of the mind to the sound that describes the spiritual world, describes the form of God, the activities of God, and also his devotees. All these actually will bring one to this perfect state of dedication because one will find satisfaction in that sound vibration. Shrotavya kirtitavyas. And then as living entities, we like to sing. And very kindly, Krishna has given us vocal cords and a tongue, for which you can sing from the heart. And the other day, I was somewhere, I can't remember where I was, but I was feeling very happy, and I was just singing. And someone walked by and go, "Oh boy, you sure are happy." And I was thinking, yeah, I really am happy. And that's why I'm singing. It's kind of natural, it comes out. And if one sings, or kirtan, which means to repeat what one's, the higher vibration that one has heard about Bhagavan, And this is very satisfying, to use the tongue, to use the vocal cords, and to express one's will in saying something that's in glorification of Bhagavan. Shrotavya kirtitavyascha dhyeya pujas chamityada. Then it adds a couple more. Of course, there's cha, which means and so on, etc. And then dhyeya means to meditate. Where are you going to put your meditation? Of course, you could put it in a lot of places, right? It's natural for somebody to become dedicated to a sports team, for instance. This is very common. But if you look at it from a distance, it's ludicrous. For instance, if you go to another country where you don't know the sport, and you just watch people wearing uniforms, they'll wear the number of the person, they'll put it on their car, and if you go and watch, you'll think this is absurd. It's a bunch of grown men or women running around, throwing things at each other, or jumping at each other, or whatever it happens to be, hitting something. Nonetheless, our tendency to dedicate is there. And when we see some qualities, some variety, and so forth, we go there. However, that kind of dedication will not give us satisfaction. However, dedication of the mind through meditation, dhyeya, on Krishna, will satisfy us. That's why we have, for instance, the process of deity worship. You can come here to this temple, and you can look at the forms of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, and you can spend as much time as you like. I think the person, like Sundarananda, he comes here, he's here all the time, practically, because he likes it, and he likes to see Krishna. And then that kind of dhyayam, or meditation, will make you happy. And other kinds will make you, will disturb your mind. So then, dhyayam puja. So puja means that you can worship the Lord. And this is a very happy expression that the soul makes to offer some worship. And worship can be very simple. It's enacted, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam. Yomi bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. If you offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I'll accept it. That's nice. You can just find a flower, and you're thinking, I'm going to offer this to Krishna. And if you bring it, then you'll feel satisfaction of doing some puja. And dhyayam pujas cha nityada. And how often should you or can you do these things for Bhagavan? Nityada means always. You'll never grow tired of it. It's not that it will become old or hackneyed. You'll be satisfied. And by the way, Janmashtami, I think, is on a Friday this year, right? Yes. That's pretty good. I was just thinking ahead, because in Janmashtami, we don't get tired. We're happy all day long doing services. We can hear and chant all day long into the wee hours of the night, and we feel satisfied. We could just keep going. And this is kind of natural. So nityada, that's something you can always do, and you'll never grow tired of it. The taste will grow from that process. So a person who gets this knowledge can find his or her way towards the correct path of dedication. Don't try wantonly for sense gratification, because the very attempt actually will put one into misery. And don't try to give it all up, because it's not yours in the first place to give up. However, if you dedicate yourself to Krishna, a person, by making, as an example, a declarative statement, you can declare in writing or through the spoken word that, Krishna, I'm going to dedicate myself to you. And whatever else comes up in this world, I'm going to stay attached to you in whatever way I see that you want me to be dedicated to. And also, you can dedicate yourself to the order of the Lord. I think this is actually the most compelling of all the various ways in which we can dedicate ourselves to Krishna. Because there are open orders given by Krishna, and anybody can pick those up. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find various ways in which Krishna gives open orders. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does it too. His most famous order is where he tells everyone that you should become responsible for yourself and then for others. He said, become a teacher of the science of Krishna consciousness and take it out to everybody, everywhere you can. That's a job that you can really dedicate yourself to. In fact, if you really get into it, if you decide, I'm going to take up that order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have more work than a Silicon Valley CEO. And Silicon Valley CEOs get woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning with problems from Singapore where they say you just lost $25 million because you're a day late and they have to worry about it. And they have to be very dedicated to actually like a job like that. That requires a lot of dedication to do that. But you can be even more dedicated to the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, what's in it for you? To dedicate yourself to the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you've heard me say at least 500 times in this assembly, the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is by that particular potency that one comes to see the Lord face to face. This is such a sublime and convenient way to be dedicated, because you can carry the order within your heart when you go to work, and no one will see it. You'll know it's there, and you'll feel this is actually what my real mission in life is. Prabhupada carried it for many years, the order he got from his spiritual master. It wasn't fully manifest for a long time. In fact, he said, not until he was 7 years old could he fully enact the order that he carried in his heart. But once you get the order, which, as I said, can come as an open order, anyone can pick it up. And no one will criticize you for picking it up. Or you can get an individual order from your guru who will say, you know, please do this or please do that. I just found out the other day when I was with Giriraj Maharaj, we were down in Southern California just before somewhere else. And he was telling me, I never knew this, but I hope it's okay to tell. But Prabhupada told him personally, he said, you should make it your topmost service is to write. Isn't that a nice order? He's written several books now. He's coming out with another book about the whole episode in Mumbai and how that temple started and what happened there and so forth. But Prabhupada gave him that order, and he's kept it in his heart, and he's enacted it as far as possible up till now, and he'll do more. But that is something that is a connection to the internal potency of Lord, and you can dedicate yourself to that order. No matter where you are, you can keep that order in your heart and then do your best to execute it, and that will connect you directly to Krishna in the spiritual world through your dedication. So the path of dedication is, it is edifying, it makes one grow. It also keeps one steady in this world, to dedicate oneself. When you dedicate yourself to Bhagavan, to Krishna, then your life becomes sacred in all of its aspects. As you see, some people, they'll dedicate themselves to keeping the deity of Krishna in their house, or they'll keep a tulsi plant in their house, and they'll dedicate themselves to taking care of tulsi, and then bringing the tulsi leaves every day to, for instance, if you have the deities of Sri Sri Gauri Thai in your house, every day you can, except for Dwadashi, you can go pick some tulsi leaves and bring them and offer them to the lotus feet of the Lord, along with some fruits and flowers. And that's a kind of dedication that's very sweet, and you can do it every day. And you'll reap the fruits of that very quickly. You'll feel a relationship with Sri Sri Gauri Nithai, who are personally present there in their form, and they will reciprocate within your heart for that kind of dedication. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about how those who understand that real nectar comes through dedication have various ways of dedicating themselves. For instance, he says the brahmacharis, they dedicate themselves to hearing. What else do they have to do all day besides hearing, chant, and do service? And one can definitely be fully absorbed in that way. And in every station of life, no matter where we are, we can pick up a form of dedication to Krishna and then really concentrate it within our heart and mind and keep it as our pride and joy. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, in the first chapter, that when in the absence of the guru, which may happen, either physically the guru may leave the world. Please, somebody go invite the guest in. She doesn't know which way to go. And he said, in the absence of the guru, better be quick. One should remember the order and consider the order one's received from the guru as one's life and soul. And then Prabhupada says, one will never feel separated from one's guru, who's a representative of Krishna, who offers an order that one can follow and dedicate one's life to. So this process of Krishna consciousness bodes well for living entities because it's specially meant for us. And the method and mood in which Srila Prabhupada has given us the process of bhakti yoga is finely tuned, especially for us. It works, and it is fully available in various aspects, various practices that one can dedicate oneself to. And if you're a beginner and you don't have a lot of taste for hearing transcendental sound, you can start with a little bit of dedication and it will grow. A small concentration of one's energy on an order that one gets from Krishna, and or the process of Krishna consciousness itself, hearing and chanting every day. For instance, Bhagavad Gita is a good place to start, because no one will quibble with the idea that the Bhagavad Gita is a great book. Even secular humanists will say this is an amazing book. And every spiritualist in the world says this is an amazing book because Krishna spoke it, and it's been well preserved. So you can keep it. Keep the Bhagavad Gita near you and dedicate yourself to it. You can bow down to it, in fact. And you can sit and read the Bhagavad Gita with some sense of reverence and dedication. And the Bhagavad Gita will reciprocate with you. And your life will then come more and more into the flow of dedication to Krishna, which is compelling because there's a taste in it that is irresistible. And then you'll want to dedicate more. And then sometimes people ask, how is it, for instance, that the Goswamis like Rupa and Sanatan, Tyakvaturna Mashesha Mamalapati, Srinim Sada Tuchavat, they gave up a lot of wealth. That seems inconceivable to someone who thinks that having wealth will actually make you happy. Because they gave up influence, they gave up wealth, because they found something far more valuable, and that was dedication to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It became so interesting and compelling to them that they gave up everything else. And naturally, when one takes to the process of dedication to Krishna and the process of devotional service, serving Krishna, bhakti parishanu bhavu virakti anyata traisha trika ekakala. This dedication to bhakti will help one to rise above the bhoga and tyaga, because the verse says that one will be filled up. Prapadya manasa yatashnata sus tushti pushti shura payunagasa. It's just like when you're eating food, you naturally feel nourished, happy, satisfied. You don't need any more. So in a similar way, one becomes virakti anyatra, which means that those things that are not connected to Krishna are no longer interesting to a person who's dedicated him or herself to the process of bhakti. Finally, chanting Hare Krishna. Out of all the different processes of bhakti, Rupa Goswami mentions this in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There are 64 angas of bhakti. The emperor of them all is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now this is something that can really occupy your time and attention, and which you can dedicate yourself to as a primary focus in your life, and you'll advance on the practice of bhakti, and you'll feel the results for yourself by dedication to the holy name. So keep a set of beads, that helps, and that becomes something you can hold on to every day, because we need something to hold on to in this world. So hold on to your beads. And then Prabhupada describes the chanting process. He says, you hold the beads in your hand, and then you capture one bead. And then you can chant one mantra on it. I've been thinking about that since I heard it. I capture one bead. It's like, gotcha. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And within the time I'm chanting the mantra, there's every possibility that I could dedicate my mind. And I'm already dedicating my voice, but if I give my attention to it, there's a sense of dedication to the holy name and satisfaction. So now let me capture another bead and keep moving. And this is the process that's especially recommended for us in the Kali Yuga. Dedicate yourself to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you'll find that there's no difference between the holy name and Krishna himself. And that will take a few reflections. Anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind? Bali Mardan Prabhu.
First of all, welcome back after long
time
from Tokyo in Japan. I think as you are mentioning the dedication, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 8:7, Tasmat sarve sukalis mamanusmare dhaja mai arpita manobuddhi. This arpit, I was just meditating on, arpit means dedications to me, means surrender. And when you are saying about the arpit, there is another word comes, which is called samarpana. Just like our kirtan and sankirtan, which is congregational chanting, samarpana is also a collective thoughts dedicated to one purpose. Just like team ISV, or we are saying about the collective people, we are dedicating for one cause, which is the mission of pleasing Sankirtan. So because Krishna is talking to Arjuna only, but we should consider this will be our samarpan to Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What else? Okay, Shraddha. Samarpanam.
So Maharaj, we heard about that Tyaktva Turna Mashesha Mandala Pati, that they gave up everything. So how do we understand in the light of Yukta Vairagya, that we say?
Well, everybody has their particular way of approaching Krishna. At that time specifically because they were engaged, living almost like kings. In fact, they had assumed the position of managing the whole government. Their particular way of dedication and for the example of others was to show the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving everything up. They were interested in, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interested in, showing people how superior was the service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than engaging in worldly activities. So that served a purpose. You'll see Raghunath Das Goswami also came from a billionaire family and he renounced as well. But there are other examples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mostly had grihastha disciples who he instructed to stay in a position of management. For instance, Kurma Brahma was one that Mahaprabhu met when he was in South India, and he had, that is, Kurma had said, I want to come with you, I want to renounce. And Mahaprabhu said, no, your duty is to stay here and maintain the level of Krishna consciousness for your village, teach everybody else how to do it. And Prabhupada comments in there that if one is engaging everything in spreading Krishna consciousness locally, no need to renounce it and walk away. So Mahaprabhu renounced for a particular purpose, that was to show or attract other people to come to him at that particular time. So it has its utility at certain times. That can be Yukta Vairagya, renouncing everything also.
To the same point, I think, I may be wrong, but even to Raghunath Das Goswami, when he meets Mahaprabhu in Shantipur initially, he tells him to go back and lead his family life nicely. But
don't be a crazy fellow. Yeah. Because he was running away regularly and Mahaprabhu told him to go back. When the time was right, then he allowed him to come. Yeah, that's a nice point. Yes?
the point of dedication, we have a new member in our ISV congregation, Yasu. She is my colleague, she is sitting behind and she was sharing.
Oh, is that her? Yeah. What is your name? Yasho.
Yasu.
Yasho.
Yasu.
Yasu.
Yeah, okay. So she was sharing my, she is sharing like dedication. So I just remember she told that her grandfather got attracted to Krishna conscious movement, and then at the age came like when his sons and like his father, mother, they grown, like he got married, he told that, okay, now you take care of yourself, I'm going to Vrindavan. And then at, he told also when you grow up, when your son's daughter grow up, then you also, when they are taken responsibility, you do the same thing. And she was telling now, his grandfather like in his last stage and he's like he's unconscious, but he's still chanting Hare Krishna mantra, like a whole all villagers, they are just stunned and they just come to see and visit him, that how is like he's practically unconscious but he's just chanting Hare Krishna on. So that life of dedication is really very powerful, that soon Dada. I was just stunned to when he heard from her.
Yes. In the Shish Upanishad, we hear that one who is dedicated throughout one's life has every reasonable expectation when leaving the body that the Lord will remember that dedication. Is that correct? Could I have evidence from the Shish Upanishad, please? Go ahead, Balaram.
No, you take it.
She did last time, share. Tell us. Starts with the word air. Vayur.
Vayur anilam amritam athedam bhasmantam shariram om kratosmara kritam smara kratosmara kritam smara.
Yeah, tell us what it means. It's a really powerful translation.
Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes and let the air of life be merged with the totality air. Now, Lord, I fall unto your feet, and please remember all the sacrifices I have done unto you.
Yeah, it's a verse that a devotee may be saying when leaving this body, or just contemplating the fact that I'm not my body, and that I can leave it at any time. And he's saying, remember my sacrifices. Prabhupada says in the purport that you don't have to ask the Lord to remember your sacrifices, because he records everything. He knows what your dedication is in this lifetime. In fact, in one lecture, Prabhupada said, so Krishna will see in this lifetime that, oh, this person, he has followed the four regular principles for me. Oh, this person, he has chanted 16 rounds every day for me, back home, back to Godhead. So these things are noted, the dedication that one gives to another, but especially to Krishna, is something that he's very much aware of. And this is love, actually. Dedication means love, because we have free choice to dedicate our energies to many other absolutely ridiculous objects and causes, and which simply makes us foolish. But if we maturely decide by good influence, by the association of devotees, that I'll dedicate myself to Bhagavan, to Krishna, and then we try to our best ability, that will be considered. As Krishna says throughout the verses we read today, that if you just try for this, I'll guide you. I'll guide you from within. It's the power of dedication. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna. I really like the point of dedication, and as you mentioned, what speak of dedication to the Krishna's message. So in the festival of Ramnami, and the theme I was hearing is like Lord Ramchandra gave only few instructions, but he saw as example to follow and dedicate ourselves to his example. But when you speak of Lord Krishna, where you can't really follow, like dancing on Kaliya or even lifting the golden hill, but you can follow the instruction of Krishna, which is given to through the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna.
Thank you.
Let it, yeah.
That's a good point. Any other reflection? Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, it's so nice to see you. It's been a long, long time.
As they say in Japan, kochirakoso, right back at you.
When you're talking about the senses and you were saying that, you know, I heard you say the sentence that you can choose to follow senses or you can, you know, they were never yours to control in the beginning. The sense that the senses and this desire for sense, you know, enjoyment is there, but you can choose to use it in Krishna's service and enjoy the things that are connected to Krishna. I wanted to understand that sentence where you said it was never yours in the first place when you said about sense enjoyment. Does it mean that? So personally, I noticed that it's a constant battle. It's a 24/7 battle. So what do you mean by it's never yours in the first place?
What I meant was that we concoct that certain things are mine, and we also develop scenarios in which that are illusory that we become attached to. For instance, I've given this example before, but since I told it in Japan, it was a big hit, I'll tell it here. There's a man who goes on a train, and he's riding along, and more people get on the train, and then he sees a beautiful woman get on the train. And he's attracted to her, and then they go through a tunnel, and the lights go out. And everyone's getting jostled because the train is moving, and you know he feels actually somebody touching his arm. And in his mind, he triangulates, and he thinks, I think that's that woman. I mean, she could have just moved over one step, and then I think she likes me, actually. And then he starts to think about, well, she likes me, we'll probably get married. And then, wow, you know, because my friends are going to be envious, that's one thing, and my parents are going to be so proud of me, they always said I was a loser, but now I'm going to prove them wrong. And, you know, we're going to get a house, and it's going to be so big, and cars, and then he's speculating and going on, and then all of a sudden the train comes out from the tunnel into the bright light. He looks down, there's a decrepit old man, like, kind of hanging onto him, and he jumps back. And there's a way in which I manufacture in my mind this idea that I am a man, I'm a woman, I'm a dog, I'm a cat. And I identify with the body through the mind, through the agency of the mind. It creates a scenario which I believe in, I dedicate myself to it. People dedicate themselves to being women, or dedicate themselves to being men, or dedicate themselves to being American. These colors don't run. There's a flag. There's a flag right on the 101 freeway. Somebody put on their building. Of course, the colors do run because the rain comes and he has to fix it every year. But, you know, this idea of my flag, I'll die for my flag and so forth, is a concoction. Somebody made that flag up. They just put some colors down. I forget what her name was who did that. I can't remember American history right now. But, you know, it's a made-up flag. The boundaries in America, they're all just concocted. If you go to the state line, it's like, who made this up? It's like, well, I don't know. How come you can't cross this? Like, I don't know. It's just here. These borders change all the time. And from the perspective of Bhumi, the personified earth, she's looking and she's seeing kings are coming. And they say, this is my land. I'll fight for it. They do fight for it. They spill blood on the ground. But she's looking and going, you're only here for 5 minutes. What is your problem? From the perspective of geological time, everyone's just passing through. And then they're claiming, this is my land, this is my body, this is my family, and so forth. These are not ours. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur declares, what is the truth? Manasa deho geho yo kichumo. He says, my body, my mind, my senses, even myself, it doesn't belong to me. How about that? You don't belong to you. You belong to Krishna. This is an opportunity for dedication. It's actually a sweet release because this concocted idea that I am my external body, it's very troublesome. I mean, when you travel, you realize it's really hard to move the body around. You got to bring stuff with you. You got to throw it in a bag. And then it's like when you leave, you got to lug it around. And people say, no, it's too heavy or whatever it is. You know, just moving around the earth with this body is troublesome, to speak of the mind and all the various limitations we put on ourselves. We live in a little box. In Japan, there's a kanji, and there are three alphabets. in Japanese, there's kanji, katakana, and hiragana. So hiragana is like our alphabet. It's just A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then you've got your katakana, which is phonetic spelling of foreign words. And then you have kanjis, which are Chinese letters. And these are pictographs. They tell a story. Once you learn to read them, it's actually easy. From a distance, you can see, oh, that's what that means. You can see a whole sentence all in one box. And so the kanji for trouble, which the name is komaru, is a tree in a box. A tree in a box. It's a picture of a box with a tree inside. Trees like this. This is what a tree looks like in kanji. And then around it is a box. Because just a tree is a tree, but then you put a box around it, that spells trouble. Because you just boxed in a tree, and trees don't like to be boxed in. And so we box ourselves in this bodily conception of life, and we think, oh, I'm this body. And it's like, no, you're not. You're not your body at all. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You have nothing to do with the body. You're just riding around in it for a couple of years. And then I claim, I am my body. No, you're not. It's ridiculous. Give it up. That's the idea.
So Maharaj, over our day, we go through these phases of, you know, we realize this in like spurts, like water releasing from a tap. You get a spurt of it. But we can't function like that with this always being on our conscience because of the fact that this world runs on the basis of individual entities. It doesn't work under this premise.
Under what premise?
That you're not your body, you just need to let go and it's fine. You work and you just do your karma, you go, you cook the dinner, they eat it, they don't eat it, I'm not bothered, I throw it away, I'm chanting. But I'm trying to connect, so...
Well, just think of it like your car. You drive your car around and everything, but you're not your car, right?
Yeah.
So Krishna says, if you have correct consciousness, which he calls divine consciousness, which because you're divine and you're actually seeing your divinity, you're within a body. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manita tatvavit pashan shrinvan shvisanjigran ashnan gachan supan shvasan pralapan vishandan grinnan unmishan nimishanapi indriyan indriyateshu vartanta iti dharyan. Said, okay, so a person in this divine consciousness sees I'm riding around in a body and it's doing all kinds of things and it's interacting with the world, but it's not me. So you can do that. You can function in the world and the body can do its thing. It is anyway. But you can be aware at the same time that actually that's just the body. I'm not doing it. I'm separate from it. And this is what in the Bhagavatam is described as being Shakshi, a witness. So you can practice that, being a witness, and you see that I'm witnessing these things going on, but they're not me. As Satyadeva Prabhu would say, there's your life and your life situation. So you're not your life situation. You're actually your life. And you always exist in the present moment, and you're part and parcel of Krishna. But when you project yourself into your life situation, you think, okay, this is what's going on, and you identify with it externally, then you become overwhelmed with this idea that I'm part of the material world, which you're not. But you can perfectly do all the tasks you need to do when you're a self-realized soul. In fact, you do them even more efficiently than somebody who's absorbed in the bodily conception of life and is controlled by the senses. Somebody who's self-realized is also self-controlled, sense-controlled, and can direct his or her senses where they need to go at any given time. And he or she is aware of the fact that these are instruments given to me, just like a car. And as Krishna says, the sign of a person in higher consciousness is one who can wind up the senses. Prabhupada gave this example. And Krishna does, of course. He says, Kumun Ganiva Sarvashah. He said, all the senses, just like a turtle draws its limbs within a shell, the self-realized person can draw them in anytime he or she needs to and isn't forced to chase after them. Hey, where'd you go? Come back here. Oh, no, you went there again. It's quite convenient and healthy and efficient and well-adjusted to be a self-realized soul. So you needn't worry. The opposite is actually true. When you're absorbed thinking I'm my body, I'm my senses, it's very inconvenient and troublesome in on many different levels. So we should be self-realized souls and dedicate ourselves to Krishna. Srivas Prabhu, thank you for your always intriguing questions.
Just to add to your point, you know, you're thinking of something and you drive along and 20 miles later, how did I come here? So,
you mean driving your car and you wonder how you got there?
Yeah, I mean the modes are just doing its work and yeah. Then you are somewhere else. So.
That's a good example. Thank you. Yes, there's one from the internet. Three from the internet. Who wants to hear three from the internet? Okay, everybody else cover your ears.
So I was talking to Sudhir Madhav Prabhu in India
today. You were?
Yeah.
That's always a treat.
Yeah. So he asked me to specially convey his obeisances to you.
We miss him very much.
Yeah. And he's actually online too.
He's online. That's good.
So please accept my respectful obeisances. All yours to Srila Prabhupada. I liked your super excellent point of not going for the extremes of bhoga or tyaga in life, but dedicate myself to Srimad Mahaprabhu's orders, kirtan and sankirtan, thus also achieving an equilibrium state. Praying with your blessings, I can imbibe this in my journey of life.
May Sudhir Madhava have his wishes fulfilled to follow that dedicated path. Hare Krishna.
And then we have two from Sundarananda Prabhu and
Sundarananda Prabhu. This is big news, big night here at ISV.
And Vaikuntha Nayak Prabhu.
And Vaikuntha Nayaka.
So Vaikuntha Nayak was first. So he said, the point I liked was, do not try to give up because it's never yours in the first place. It was never yours in the first place.
Yeah, probably used to give the example. The man walks into the Bank of America. He says, I renounce this bank.
And his question is that, could you please elaborate on the statement, Bhagavad Gita will reciprocate back with you?
Well, Krishna is not different from... Hi, Raja. Hare Krishna. We'll do a quiet welcome back. Yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, Bhagavad Gita, yuck. So Krishna, what do I mean that Krishna will reciprocate through the Bhagavad Gita? Well, he's absolute, he's an absolute personality, so he can reciprocate through any medium that he decides to, but especially those that are, that assume his form, his qualities, and so forth. For instance, Krishna can reciprocate through a painted picture. He's as much present there as he is in Vaikuntha. And the sound vibration that comes from Bhagavad Gita, see, it's an interesting conundrum for a materialist, or Prabhupada says a puzzle. It's a puzzle. They remain puzzled. Because it's the where the temporal meets the divine. And so that's paper on ink. But actually, it's a meeting place. It's a tirtha. Tirtha means a bridge. It's a bridge to the spiritual world because everything there is expressive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it's non-different from Him. And the words especially, words are powerful because they create even in this material world. And a language exists even before the creation because there's language in the spiritual world. And when Krishna speaks, He manifests, and when Brahma, who's the first created being in the material world, speaks, he manifests through his speech, through his mantras. He throws mantras here and there, and then just like if you learn Python, which I know nothing about, but I'm sure it has something to do with computer engineering or coding or something, you can manifest things through that language. And so the language in the Bhagavad Gita is the language of Krishna. It comes from the spiritual world. It's non-different from Krishna. Then when you read the mantras, you hear the mantras, they act as the bridge, or they are actually Krishna himself, and you'll feel him speaking directly to you. So, for instance, when you read a hum, and as Radhika Raman Prabhu gave that beautiful eloquent explanation of why only Krishna can use the word aham, I, because he actually is the only I. Everyone else is relative to that. He's the only aham. So when you read aham in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's personally there. I had an experience when I first got the Bhagavad Gita. I was amazed because I felt I was directly, every time I read aham, I felt, oh, Krishna's speaking. He's there in that aham, and it's true. And anyone can have that experience. That's why the Bhagavad Gita is beloved of millions of people all over the world, because they feel a divine communion with Krishna through the Bhagavad Gita when they read it, especially when it's not distorted, when the actual message comes through properly. That's a whole other topic. And there's one more on the internet. Two more on the, who is it? Sundarananda Prabhu has part B.
Thank you, Prabhu, for bringing up this point of dedication. I was thinking about how association of devotees strengthens our dedication. We are all at different levels of dedication. How can we quickly come to 100% dedication to Krishna?
Well, first of all, you talked about the importance of association with devotees. And this is something that is ubiquitous. You'll find it in the teachings of the Bhagavatam, in the teachings of the Goswamis. In fact, I was just reading this morning the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami is describing the angas of bhakti, and he talks about association with devotees as being one of the most important aspects of devotional service. And he gives many, many verses from the Shastra, one of which is Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tadiyanam Samarjana. So this verse is a response by Lord Shiva to his wife Parvati, who's asking what's the best kind of worship. And he answers, does Lord Shiva, the best kind of worship is worshiping Lord Vishnu. He said, but better than that is worship Tadiya, those things that are dear to in relationship with the Lord, but especially it means the devotees. So actually, it's very interesting in that section. It described, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that talks about how the living entity, we're actually prakriti. Living entities, naturally, it's prakriti, it's shakti, it's a female energy. But we get male and female bodies, if I'm not incorrect. Yes? Yes. You've noticed. Okay, so there it is. And then there's its description throughout the Bhagavatam telling us that the main attractive force in the material world is these the male female, punsa striya maitini bhava mitantaya mitru hridaya gantamahu. There's a way in which males, females have become attracted. It's very natural on the material platform. It has to also to carry on the species and so forth. But there's an adiras behind all that. It just gets perverted. So now, describing that the most entangling force in the material world, I just gave a verse that described it, Pumsa Striya Maitini Bhavni Tam, the coming together of Pumsa and Striya, male, female, that's, I'm talking in the external, the bodies, they become attracted, entwined, and then it becomes the most binding force in the material world. But he gives another verse from the Bhagavatam that describes how one becomes inextricably connected to the material world through these opposites attracting, and or male and female attracting, not necessarily opposites. And then he says, of course, he said, so the verse from the Bhagavatam that says, a man who's attached materially, speaking to a woman, and then a person who's attached to those who are attached to women, said it's more entangling to associate with a person who's attached to people who are attached to association with a woman. That's a verse from the Bhagavatam. So then he says that actually it's more connecting when you're attached to the person who's attached to Krishna. If you're attached to the devotee who's attached to Krishna, you're more tightly connected with Krishna than you are directly. And then he quotes, of course, from the Adi Purana, where Krishna says, anyone who says he's my devotee isn't my devotee, but those who say they're the devotees of my devotees. So one of the ways that one becomes elevated in Krishna consciousness and quickly dedicated is being around those who are fully dedicated in Krishna consciousness. You'll find this, that there's an automatic sense that you get when you're around somebody who's more dedicated than you are. And you immediately get lifted up by their presence. So deliberately associate with yourself with those who are more dedicated than yourself to Krishna. And if you do that, of course, we can give many evidences from the Shastra, like Mahatsevam Dwara Mahur Vimuktestamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. This verse says that if you associate with great souls, then the door to liberation opens. And then, of course, there's Prahlad Maharaj, Rahu Ganaita Tapasanayati Nichejaya Nirvapanad Grihadva, etc. Tuliyama Lavinapi Naswagam Na Punarvabam. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha. All these verses indicate that by association with great souls, what to speak of Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Lava Matar Sarva, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi, one gets this uncanny sense of dedication by being around them, by their Sangha.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is related to 18th chapter, the 47th verse. It actually, in the last line, it says that duties prescribed according to one's natures are never affected by sinful reactions. Can you elaborate a little bit? Because I always...
Sure. Here's a translation. It's better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Purport. One's occupational duty is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita. As already discussed in previous verses, the duties of a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra are prescribed according to their particular modes of nature. One should not imitate another's duty. A man who is by nature attracted to the kind of work done by shudras should not artificially claim to be a brahmana, although he may have been born into a brahmana family. In this way, one should work according to his own nature. No work is abominable if performed in the service of the Supreme Lord. The occupational duty of a brahmana is certainly in the mode of goodness, but if a person is not by nature in the mode of goodness, he should not imitate the occupational duty of a brahmana. For a kshatriya or administrator, there are so many abominable... Things. A kshatriya has to be violent to kill his enemies, and sometimes a kshatriya has to tell lies for the sake of diplomacy. Such violence and duplicity accompany political affairs, but a kshatriya is not supposed to give up his occupational duty and try to perform the duties of a brahmana. One should act to satisfy the Supreme Lord. For example, Arjuna was a kshatriya. He was hesitating to fight the other party. But if such fighting is performed for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there need be no fear of degradation. In the business field also, sometimes a merchant has to tell so many lies to make a profit. If he does not do so, there can be no profit. Sometimes a merchant says, "Oh, my dear customer, for you I am making no profit." But one should know that without profit, the merchant cannot exist. Therefore, it should be taken as a simple lie if a merchant says that he is not making a profit. But the merchant should not think that because he is engaged in an occupation in which the telling of lies is compulsory, he should give up his profession and pursue the profession of a brahmana. That is not recommended. Whether one is a kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra, it doesn't matter if he serves, by his work, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even brahmanas who perform different types of sacrifice sometimes must kill animals because sometimes animals are sacrificed in such ceremonies. Similarly, if a kshatriya engaged in his own occupation kills an enemy, there is no sin incurred. In the third chapter, these matters have been clearly and elaborately explained. Every man should work for the purpose of yajna, or for Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything done for personal sense gratification is a cause of bondage. The conclusion is that everyone should be engaged according to the particular mode of nature he has acquired. And he should decide to work only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. No one likes a nonviolent policeman. If you call the cops and they go like, "Sorry, we're nonviolent and we can't help you right now," they're a farce, or a violent priest. Who likes a violent priest or a nonviolent policeman? Right. So according to the mode of nature that one's acquired, and one has a propensity to work in a particular way, if one works in that way and does the work in connection with Krishna, then as Krishna says later, sway sway, anabhakto sway sway adhikariya nicha, sway sway karma nibhirata, samsidhim, anyway, samsidhim, that's enough, he gets perfection. Sway sway, it means his nature, if he acts according to his nature and dedicates it to the Supreme Lord, he gets perfection. So this this means everyone has a particular way of working in the world according to the modes that he or she has acquired. And the Varnashrama system is very practical. It doesn't confuse people by claiming that everybody on the material level is equal. It's very confusing because nobody's equal on the material level. Everyone has some difference. It's a confusion that people make often nowadays. The principle is sound that we're all equal because spiritually we are. So it must be a spiritual principle, and that's what it is. But when we say we're equal on the material level and we try to do things that we're not qualified to do on the material level, it simply leaves us out of balance. The idea behind Varnashram is that from the material side, you should have as much balance as possible so that you can pursue your spiritual interests and be naturally settled in the kind of work that's appropriate for you. Hope that helped. Yes.
So Maharaj, when you were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam at the Dham during the Kartik month,
yes.
So there in the 7th canto, 11th chapter, there is a verse, the chapter is about the perfect society, which talks about the various Varnashram dharmas. And Narad Muni is talking about how if you keep on putting a little amount of ghee into the fire will never be extinguished. But if you put a huge amount of ghee into the fire gets extinguished. So that's why the lower type of people are allowed to do things like kill animals and all that, so that by doing it a lot, they will get over the propensity of doing that.
Yeah, it's not a verse we propagate a lot.
And there are three on that.
Okay.
This is Arindam Das from Washington, D.C.
Oh, Arindam, how nice.
So he has a question. In the process of dedicating our activities to Krishna, when difficulties arise, are those difficulties also the arrangement of Supreme Lord to test our sincerity and bring us closer to Him?
Yes. Okay, what's the next
one? No. I was saying that Dhir Madhavi Dasi is also asking us along the same lines. I'm going to club the two questions together so you can introduce.
Okay.
So how a person can be equipped in different difficult situations of life, and how not to react when someone is blaming you? Is there any limit for not to react?
No, there's no limit. You can be non-reactive if you choose to. Yes, if you're dedicated, this verse from the Bhagavatam shows the perfect alignment of a dedicated person. It says, Tate mukampam susimikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvagvapurvir vidanam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. This is about the person who is fully dedicated to the idea that I'm the servant of the Supreme Personality of God. This is proper dedication. I'm a servant. You'll feel satisfied. It's a little tricky at first because my ego wants to be served. My idea is that I'm going to be the best, even in devotional service. I'm going to have, better service, I'm going to stand out more, my kirtan's going to be better, I'll have more disciples, whatever it is, the ego can unlimitedly usurp, whatever service you have and claim it for itself, like, got it. So transferring to the actual service mode that I'm a servant of others, it seems odious. It seems onerous. It seems like this is contrary to my interest. In fact, you go to the corporate world and you start talking about service to others, you go, yeah, but you're going to get stepped on and everything. So it's against our nature, but if you can actually do it, and even a little bit, you'll notice that actually it's the opposite of what you think. You actually become exalted. Lord Nityananda is a servant. He said, I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'd wait to try you. I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'm a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I'm a servant of his servants, and so forth. They're all clamoring after service. No identification with the being the controller. I serve the controller. This is a happy place to be. So if you can realign yourself with that identity, that's a happy place to be. And then from that dedicated idea, that whatever happens to me, as Sri Prabhupada writes, he said, if you can take punishment as the reward of the master, then you can learn how not to make the same mistakes again. And so tate adukampam susumikshamano means the person who's aligned in the service mode is accepting whatever comes as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the alignment of attitude, and it's not sectarian. It doesn't matter, you know, what religious background you come from. But if you align yourself with this idea, then you're eligible to go back to God, go back to the kingdom of God. Sadayabak, you inherit the kingdom of God for being in that mode, that service mode where you accept whatever comes. So that's a practice. And I quoted earlier on, I think, Yamhinav Yatayantiete Purusham Purusharshaba Samadhuka Sukham Diram Somritat Vayakalpate. A person who can achieve this kind of equanimity, accepting the happiness, distress, whatever comes, as equal. These are only reactions happening on the external platform. That person is eligible to actually taste happiness in life. So, yes, you can. You can dedicate yourself to such a degree that you accept whatever happens to you as the Lord's mercy. How about this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever trouble comes to me as I'm executing my duties to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, trouble. Anybody like trouble? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Whatever trouble comes to me as I'm performing my duties, I take that as my highest pleasure and happiness in life. Because I'm doing it for Krishna. That's the life of the person who's dedicated. It's actually not your problem anymore. Once you dedicate yourself to Krishna, you say, Krishna, I'm dedicated to you. This is my thing is serving you. Whatever you say, that's what I do. Whatever you ask me to do, that's what I do. And if it gets messed up, I did my best and something went sideways, okay, I did what I could. You're not responsible anymore when you're completely dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're not responsible for the result. You don't claim it anymore. I did that. No, it was my service to the Lord, and whatever happened, that result came because of the Lord's mercy. And what was the second one? Can you accept trouble? Yes, you can. And
so how a person can be equipped in difficult situations of life?
Equipped?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to have good association. You also have to have a dedicated practice, so you have somewhere to take shelter. And troubles will come, that's for sure. So when they do come, you have to process them through Krishna consciousness. It's not that you'll be an unfeeling person, anything bad happens, you won't even notice it. You may notice it a lot. But you'll know how to process it, which is, first thing, chant Hare Krishna. If all else fails, chant Hare Krishna, and everything else will fail. So practice on that level, and learn to take shelter of Krishna when trouble comes. And that's where there's actual shelter. There's no shelter on the mental platform or making some adjustment, because something else will go wrong too. So you can practice and have good association and learn to process things. If you have good mentors, it helps also. People around you who are mature, who when bad things happen, when things go the way you didn't expect them to go and you feel really disappointed, if heartbroken even, then take shelter of people who are mature devotees. they know how to administer compassion while giving you some philosophy that will sober you up a little bit. At the same time, both those things are very important.
I was thinking that, when you're talking with the Tathena Kumbham, I just feel that I'm way in the base, and then the Tathena Kumbham shloka is well up in the ceiling. Are there just few steps that I can reach up where, at some point I will reach the ceiling? Because it's so hard, in the perspective of where I am, because even to such an extent of who's my friend or who's not my friend determines, my mind determines it. If suppose that somebody is satisfying my ego, then that person is my friend. If somebody dissatisfies my ego, then that person is my enemy. So, it's very hard.
So just one thing, I don't mean to oversimplify this, but if you can give up your ego, that helps a lot. And I don't mean to be funny either, but it's a fact. If you develop a serving ego, it changes everything. Because envy comes from seeing somebody else in a position you'd like to have. And that it ruins everything. So there's a solution to it. And that is to develop a serving ego. And it's okay to do that. If Advaitacharya does it, if Balaram does it, we can do it too. Don't feel that you have to maintain your sense of ego in order to maintain your identity. It's a false identity, and it causes a lot of problems. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes along, and the acharyas come along, and they say, please feel free to give up your false ego and take up the serving ego. They say, I'm a servant of Krishna. It sounds weird to people in the material world. What are you guys, slaves or something like that? It's like, well, if you're slave to the right person, you're actually doing really well. And we are. We're either slaves to our senses, or we're slaves to the all-beautiful, all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, boy, it's not a popular phrase, divine slavery. One of Prabhupada's God's brothers used to say it. But the fact of the matter is, if you become a servant and you take the serving ego, practice it. See what it's like. Try it on for size. See if you like it. You might like it. You could just create a scenario that you're sitting across the room and you're thinking, I'm really envious of my God sister because, she's smarter than me. maybe she's not smarter than me, but how come she gets all the credit? whatever it is. But then try something new on for size. Should I say, I'm a servant, actually, of that person. Let me see if I can serve. Find a reason to be a servant of that person. And you'll find that it works quite well, because it's natural. And it's surprisingly well. It works surprisingly well, because all of a sudden, you start to feel a kind of release from this obligation of maintaining something you're not. And you also start feeling good-natured towards that person, actually, I really like you. And there's the relationships open up. The world, you start to see colors and everything. Envy blocks everything out. It blocks out the sun. It blocks out colors. It blocks out happiness. Food tastes bad. When you have envy, it's a terrible disease. So practice being a servant. And Mahaprabhu, that's all he's saying. He says, just be a humble servant and you'll be okay. And if you're a humble servant to Krishna, or we just had Ram Nami, and Lord Ram, he says, even say it one time, Sakradeva Prapanuyas, just say I'm a servant. And say, okay, from then on, I'll just take care of you. who wouldn't surrender to somebody like that? That's what Uddhava kept saying, Aho Bhakyam Stanakalakutam, Jikamsaya Payat Apyasadvi. Putana came, she tried to fake everybody out, and tried to kill Krishna, but Krishna accepted her good qualities. What to speak of somebody who surrenders to Krishna even a little bit? So we can do it. So
thank you.
It's all possible. Go premanande nitai gaurari bo hari bo hari bo nitai gaur hari bo. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming out for the Bhagavad Gita class tonight. And to everyone online, we've felt your presence very profoundly, and we thank you very much for tuning in from different parts of the world. Please spread the vibration to as many people as you can. The only sickness in this world is lack of Krishna Katha. So keep the vibration going at all costs. Thank you very much. Vanchakalpadrubhischa kripasanabhavicha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Nacharyar marman.